From LoveXX, this is The Periodical, where we speak with people who want to advocate change and stop the global menstruation stigma. And hey, I'm your host, Jesse Braun.
Today, our guest is someone who is very special to me, and he is absolutely everything to this podcast. It is Trey Morris, who is my husband and our audio engineer, who does all of the amazing editing to The Periodical. Hey, Trey.
Hey, thanks for the introduction. I feel like she's buttering me up for something else.
Well, I'm really excited to have Trey come on because in lieu of news that our cat, we are very professional here and our cat has joined the scene.
Our cat Bags is here now too. She's great.
She's just like, what up?
A little black kitty.
She's so cute. Yeah. Okay, so in recent news, we've talked about CEO of the Thinks company, which for those who may not be aware, Thinks is a period panty company that has great technology and utilizes some sort of like wicking fabric that helps your period panties not stain while also being able to hold two tampons worth of blood. And they are also known for their New York City subway campaign, where they feature the first trans man in one of their ads.
And some suggestive fruit.
Yes, their grapefruit that looks like a vagina.
It definitely did look like a vagina. They did a good job with that.
And the reason it was such a big deal was the New York City subway officials kind of were like, this is way too suggestive. And Thinks company CEO, Mickey Agarwal, fought hard and was able to go ahead and have the campaign run within New York City Transit. It was a very successful campaign, might I add. I actually have a coworker whose boyfriend went out of his way to purchase for her Thinks underwear, which, by the way, are very expensive, $30 per pair, because of the campaign.
Yeah, I used to see him every single day when I was going to work around Grand Central. So it was a great campaign. It was everywhere, and I think it was really effective for them.
Well, you didn't happen to buy me Thinks underwear.
I didn't.
So
this is pre periodical, so, and okay, well, XX,
I will say that my coworker's boyfriend and her don't have any. It's fine. We'll just go.
I'll keep my eyes open for the next thing.
Okay, so what's happening in the news cycle right now is CEO Mickey Agarwal of Thinks, the Thinks period panty company, has just stepped down as CEO. And the reason for that has sort of been like, I guess it's like what the light was shed on the situation. There has been some serious, accusations.
There have been some serious accusations. Her ex-publicist.
Her PR representative.
PR representative came out and put out a lot of sexual harassment accusations. Some of this included groping, specifically. And then there were a lot of different other actions that are very unacceptable in the workplace. And bordering on sexual assault, I feel. But I'm sure we'll dive more into that.
Yeah, so the girl who, has filed these sexual assault claims is 26 years old, and they were, like, officially filed within New York State. And I guess a reason why we really wanted to jump into this is we were literally about to release an episode of The Periodical where we talk about Mickey Agarwal, you know, in context with other period companies, going and being very innovative and very progressive in the way that they deal with menstrual hygiene, you know, even just calling it menstrual hygiene versus feminine hygiene. And we were really giving her a positive light and like gold star. Mickey Agarwal once again is in the New York Times with like glowing reviews. And then I had several different people send me these articles about CEO Mickey Agarwal. Like, oh my God, did you see this, Jessica? Think CEO, not really what we thought she was.
Yeah. I have a few different thoughts on it. For me, first of all, the person who had accused her was Chelsea Lebo. And she was her ex-publicist. She was actually fired in December, and she had made complaints before to their non-existent HR department. But that's a whole other thing as well. I feel like women CEOs have an incredible amount of pressure put on them. I mean, yes, we're in the network of period positivity here, and certainly people should feel comfortable sending us, you know, articles about people who are trying to talk more openly about them. But I feel like there have been things that the expectations for women CEOs are so much higher simply because they are CEOs.
And they're women.
And they're women. They're women. And I guess Agarwal was known for calling herself a CEO, which is...
Rolling my eyes, you guys.
Yeah, rolling like, your eyes. But at the same time, I mean, I think that that is the right way to go about that, too. Like, if you are a CEO and you are a female, now is the time to be proud of it and be like, hey, listen, I am female, and you should take notice because we can do it just as good. And
but I see where you're coming from. I, on the other hand, CEO is annoying to me. You're, you know, whether you're a woman or a man, you're CEO of your company. I don't think you need any like weird special title. Yes, a majority of CEOs are male, regardless.
Sure.
It's just all on the same playing field.
Totally. 100% with you on that. But on the same playing field, I spend a ton of time on LinkedIn, especially over the last year, just for my line of work, and different CEOs, specifically female CEOs, get a ton of stories on there. And I'm sure over the next month or so, I'm only going to see Miki Agarwal over and over, just like I was seeing Marissa Mayer from Yahoo for like a year. And then if anyone ever posted anything about Elizabeth Holmes from Theranos, she was doing the whole like Steve Jobs turtleneck thing and, you know, was promoting her company that couldn't do what it said it could do. And she was like, supposed to be the first or the youngest billionaire, and then they discovered that she had like nothing to sell essentially. But I feel like those stories are just passed on so much more, and I feel like there may be a targeting of female CEOs a little more. But we should get back to Miki Agarwal. I apologize for
so essentially her allegations were,
I mean, groping was number one.
Yes. So she apparently was very aggressively coming at one of her employees and feeling inclined to inappropriately touch them with their breasts. Workplace nudity was one of them. Her raises were only really given to men and the women didn't really get them, apparently, from what employees have come forward and said. She openly was expressing sexual interest in one of her employees. And she didn't have an HR department, but she had what they call, which quote unquote is like cultural queens department.
Culture queens.
Oh, yeah. Culture queens, sorry.
There were people that were in positions called culture queens instead of HR. And that, from everything that I've gathered, it was someone that, if you have a problem, talk to one of the culture queens and then they'll tell me. Which is another power problem too. I guess that's what happens when the founder of the company is the CEO.
Right. And I guess the reason that all of this happens to be so troubling is, number one, she's a woman, CEO. Like we talked about, she's more critically looked at. And number two, you know, Thinx has really branded themselves as a very feminist company and brand. And that's why so many, like, you know, privileged women are able to afford these $30 period panties and jump on this like feminist period undies bandwagon. Now, it's troubling because she's not practicing what she's preaching.
To me, everything I've read about her, and I read Miki Agarwal's like personal blog and statement about when she was kind of stepping out, it seems like she was so open about in the workplace, like, we're women, we can talk about things, it's okay that I talk to you about your nipples or whatever, because I have them too, and it's cool, we're like cool like that, and we're going to talk about taboo subjects, and we're going to be open about it, because that's how it is, and I get that, and I think that there's a lot to that, that we kind of dabble in a little bit with like period positivity, and like being able to like talk about these things that maybe are repressed or taboo, but I feel like from what I've read, and like these are allegations, I don't know that they're facts. We don't know these things. I'm sure they'll investigate them. But it seems like she just took it so far that maybe it wasn't even like what she intended. You know, like the nudity in the office where she FaceTime people in meetings while she was naked in bed, or she would do it from on the toilet, or she would just change clothes in her glass office.
Right. Well, and granted, they are a period company where they're trying on products and making sure they're working. So, I mean, there's I understand where there's some gray issues here or why or where these things could so easily get out of hand.
Right. I feel like there's a line there that we kind of all know where it is of like, hey, we want to be talking about taboo things and we want to push boundaries. We want to be open and screw the norms. We're a new trending company. But at the same time, you don't need to be throwing out any form of modesty or respect because you're going to have employees at any company that aren't as committed as you, especially as a founder CEO. There are going to be people that are there to come and do your graphic design. And then, you know what? They want to go home and they don't want to talk about this. And they are just there to clock in the hours or to get on the resume. And they're not necessarily there to see your nipples or to hear about the conference that you went to on squirting. You know, it's not necessarily something that's going to be in their interest. And I think that, you know, yeah, HR isn't a place that's going to generate you money when you make your business. But HR, if there had been HR on site that they were getting complaints that people had about her, HR is there to protect the CEO. They're not there to protect the
You mean the culture queens?
The culture queens, their very purpose, like that is like her putting culture queens in place, if you ask me, is more damning because she knew there were problems and she said, if you've got a problem, talk to so-and-so. And then she'll let me know that that someone had a problem and we'll deal with it. Right. It's like, they would only put those in place if there were people who had legitimate problems and then they were like, and it wasn't being reacted to correctly. If they had an actual HR representative that's like, hey, Mickey, somebody complained about you touching them. You can't do that.
Well, sexually also.
They would let her know, and she probably could have corrected her behavior, and this never would have happened, maybe. But it's still wrong that she did it in the first place. But I feel like it wasn't to her benefit to not do those things, especially if she founded like her whole business upon like, let's talk about the things no one wants to talk about. There should be another sidetrack on that. But we're going to make sure we do it right and protect ourselves while we're doing it.
Right, and I think that's where her problems are, right? Like, it takes a very certain person to really be able to dive into this very taboo subject of menstruation and to really be able to fight the New York City MTA to get your ads up. And, it takes a very charismatic
person. Charismatic person, yeah. But, like, and I don't think anyone could ever question her passion for this. Or her drive or her commitment to period positivity or, you know, putting out a reliable product or revamping a product that was already invented because they weren't the first ones, the first period panties. But, like, I feel like she did no one could ever question that her enthusiasm and drive for that. But at the same time, you have to show respect for the people that work for you.
Right.
And the people that work with you.
I mean, honestly, some of her allegations, the things that you were doing are things that personally that I read and I think about and I'm like, wow, these are like great and beautiful things that we should openly be able to do. You know, we should be comfortable with our bodies. If you want to change in front of someone, okay, fine. If you want to talk about your first time squirting, great. Let's like be able to talk about those. Or if you want to be able to openly discuss the shape of someone's breast and their nipple piercings, fine. It's beautiful to be able to talk and be open about these things. Or if you're comfortable, you know, hosting a FaceTime session with your girlfriend naked in bed, fine. However, we don't live in a world where it's safe for a CEO and her employees for that sort of thing to go on, especially within the power dynamic when the CEO is paying your bills and you're the employee. So I think that as beautiful as being open is and as beautiful as I love talking about sex and periods and nipples and everything in between on this podcast, mind you, this is an opinion podcast and I do this for fun and Trey does editing for fun. I don't have an office of 35 employees and I'm not hosting a board meeting and then before the board meeting going into very graphic details about my female ejaculation with my partner the night before.
Sure. You know, I agree with 90% of what you said. The touching, though, I think is something that has no place anywhere.
Right.
Like, no, no place 100%. 100%. Like, that is absolutely sexual assault. I know there are lines. If you're with a friend and, like, you know, you touch each other's boobs and that's your relationship, fine.
And friends are different also, sure, than CEO versus employee.
Absolutely. There's a very big difference between coworkers and friends. I have fantastic coworkers that I think are great people, but I don't want to hang out with them ever. You know, and I have friends that, like, if we work together, I probably wouldn't want to be around them much more. And even that completely aside, if you are a leader, there should never be any sort of touching with a subordinate. Someone goes to hug
you... Especially without consent.
Especially without consent. If someone goes to hug you as a leader, like, I feel like doing, like, the one-arm, like, shoulder hug is okay, as long as it's, like... Like, it kind of just floats in on the back, and you're like, hi, gently, yes. Like, respect the other person to do that. I've seen that. I've done that. I've hugged my bosses before. Things happen. But, like, there's another side of that that's just, like, respecting your employees. You know, if you've ever managed people, you know that, like, these people look up to you. And honestly, you do control a lot more than just their job. Because if people don't have jobs, they don't have money. People don't have money. Right. They don't have food.
So then it becomes some sort of, like, prostitution scene.
Yeah. It's that
power. Oh, my boss touched my boob so I can pay for food. Damn it. Yeah. Like, that's something you never... That's bad. Like, if you're in that situation and you don't have an HR department, you need to quit your job. That is not okay.
Are in that situation and you even feel like, hey, that was weird, you should talk to HR. Because HR, like you said earlier, isn't there to protect you, so don't trust them. But if you go to HR and tell them, it should get back to the proper people so that they know, hey, that wasn't appropriate, and I probably shouldn't do that. And at the very least, if it was the first time that they ever did that, then they'll know that they shouldn't do that, and hopefully it protects at least the next person or you.
Right.
So please share that.
Well, and another thing about this, what seems to sort of be one of the biggest issues here, but, you know, with the boob groping, is that she happened to be at some sort of, like, event that she was speaking at, where she openly in the event spoke about that particular employee's breasts and nipple piercings in front of the entire event, called her out personally within the audience, talked about her nipple piercings, and talked about how she showed the office her nipple piercings, which is crossing so many lines and is so inappropriate. And whether the employee did or didn't show the nipple piercings, if your boss is asking you to show an office your nipple piercings and your boss is paying for your paycheck or, like, giving you the money, it's kind of hard to say no.
Yeah.
There's just a power dynamic there that should never be abused. And I think that that's the biggest problem with this whole entire situation, is that Nikki was abusing her power, and that someone who is constantly tooting the feminist horn and, like, building her business upon that, there's sort of this, like, sisterhood thing that's just not, you don't abuse power, especially when feminism is based off of equality and the patriarchy has been a huge imbalance within, which, you know, the whole reason that feminism even exists. It's like, well, you should not be doing that to your fellow employees.
I feel like there's another thing there too, though. Even if I went into work and I was like, hey, boss, check out this sweet piercing I have on my penis. Okay? Even if I did that, like, and to be clear, I don't have
one. It feels really great, you guys. If you have a penis, go get it pierced.
I do not have a penis piercing. But even if I went in and showed my boss, like, in confidence, like, hey, check out this Prince Edward. I don't know what they call this Prince something is when they pierce, whatever. We'll look that up later. We'll send a link. No, please don't. But penis even if I showed my boss my penis piercing.
Yeah, Prince Albert.
Prince Albert. There you go.
That's what it's called.
The Prince Albert piercing. It wouldn't mean that it's appropriate for my boss to be
in
the morning meeting. Hey, Trey. Can you please show everyone your penis piercing? I mean, you already showed me.
Right.
That's like, still like, fucking here's the thing.
If you have a confidant and your friend, like if you have a work wife and you're tight and you complain and you show each other, and if your work wife gropes you and you grope her back, fine. Fine and good. Whatever. That's you guys. You get drinks on the weekends. That's cool.
Consensual.
It's consensual. Not, it's fine.
Groping at work to you guys are cool. Never okay.
But like, you can't just like go, whatever. I mean, Mickey made some mistakes. I get that. But what I don't understand, or what's hard for me to sort of wrap my head around is that, you know, I read this article on Racked. Read the article. It's pretty in-depth. Clearly, whoever was the writer of this Racked article had very intense inside information from one of the Things employees, you know, helping fuel the information for this article. But what it turns out to be is that Mickey was also not even, like, paying her employees very well. Like, they were about $30,000 lower than all of the market positions. And from a startup company, you're in it for the long haul, right? Like, when you are like, okay, I'm going to work with a startup company, like, you're sort of like, I might not get paid this week because the funds might not be there and I'm screwed, which sucks on so many levels. So I guess I feel like for a lot of reason, this sexual harassment hotbed that was happening within Thinks was just that, a hotbed, because it was a startup company, because they're breaking taboos, because it's like an underwear company, because it's very female. You know, it just seems like the perfect sort of breeding ground for this sort of like inappropriate activity. It's just unfortunate that the company happened to be funded on feminism and like female empowerment, and then the CEO was sort of basically acting like this like white straight male, like the dude at American Apparel. I keep everything I'm reading and seeing, they keep kind of comparing Mickey Agarwal to the CEO of American Apparel, who is sleeping with several different of his employees and doing, you know, very rapey activities.
Sure. As far as compensation goes with a startup, you can't pay people if you don't have the money. And that's definitely part of it.
So
and,
don't hire them, first off.
Yeah, like there's a fine line there, and you're going to be wrong no matter what way you go, because if you're paying people too much, you can go out of business, or you won't get funding because they'll be like, hey, you're paying your people too much. And from the research I did, people were not compensated well. And when that came out, they actually paid people bonuses on sales numbers. So
right, but like, what if you're not in sales? What if you're the lowly graphic designer who's then not getting...
They actually paid bonuses from what it says for profit sharing to people in the rest of the company. So underpaying, absolutely. Is that shocking? No, it's not. To me, it's not shocking at all that people who were employees of a startup company or underpaid.
No, but for a feminist startup company, it's like, pay the women what they deserve.
Sure. I think it's more shocking that the men got raises.
Exactly.
That's the more shocking thing about that. That's not okay. However, for people to be underpaid in the startup, I feel like that getting the brunt of the attention is distracting from the issues, and it is actually drawing attention to, hey, look, a feminist company, and guess what? They don't pay their women well either. That, to me, sounds almost like it's a message coming from the patriarchy being like, see, it's totally normal to not pay women well. Like, that seems like it's something that is getting so much attention where it's like, look, that may be what happened, but it's not what we should be focusing on. What we should be focusing on is the unethical actions of sexual harassment were done by a person in power. And yes, it was a female. And yes, it really friggin' sucks it's a brand that we really thought was, you know, charging forward the feminist flag. For her to be treating any of her workers that way is totally wrong. And honestly, if she was doing the same thing to her male employees, we would hear the same story about woman CEO, CEO, sexual harassment, and it would screw the whole company again. And that is part of what really drives me crazy about female CEOs. And I feel like it's the same thing of like, there's so much extra pressure and extra attention. And is it fair? I don't know. And I don't think anyone can because it's
the obviously news that it's not fair. Read. It's not fair. It's just so easily to scrutinize the 20% of women CEOs that are out there because, you know, they're just like held to such a higher standard. What's unfortunate the most to me about this
I'm sorry, I don't want to interrupt you. I don't know that they're held to a higher standard. It's just that if they don't perform well, we're going to hear about it. You know, if they do okay, it's going to be fine. But if they do, if there's anything that goes wrong with a female CEO, it's going to be front page news where there are male CEOs who are shit in the bed every single day and you almost never hear about it. There are companies that go completely bankrupt and with their male CEOs and you'll never, ever hear about it. But if it's a female and especially a feminist, you're going to hear about it. And I think that is, I'm going to put on my tinfoil hat, the patriarchy trying to control us because it's to their benefit for us to feel, even subconsciously, that maybe women are misguided.
Well, and a lot of it has to do with the United States and capitalism. And capitalism has been run by the patriarchy since, you know, this country was founded. So I think that a lot of it has to do with that. And I also want to say, for the sake of Mickey, she doesn't have a lot of CEOs to look up to that are women or that are breaking taboos that are doing the same sort of thing that she's doing. So she really doesn't have a good guideline of like what she should and shouldn't be doing. And again, like to have someone who is there to break the taboo and like do these great things is fantastic and beautiful, but should they possibly be the one operating the company? No. So I think she did the right thing for stepping down. I'm glad that she made the decision. I'm sorry that there was sexual harassment. I'm sorry that the company employees weren't getting paid well. Also, the maternity leave was really, really awful. And they only got like 2 weeks or something. And as most everyone in the U.S. knows, in the United States of America, if you are pregnant, your company legally doesn't owe you a penny. You basically just have to quit working for however much time you want with no pay, but you still technically can get your job back when you go back to work. So she gave her employees like 2 weeks off paid. That's it. Which is like pitiful, pitiful for any sort of like feminist company. And then as far as the feminism goes with this, and a lot of the articles are saying, is Mickey Agarwal a feminist or not? And it's like, whatever that means, it doesn't matter. Just make sure you're paying your employees well. They're not getting abused. I still want things to be successful. I think things will be successful. I think all the people, the employees who left, by the way, at one third, there's 35 employees, over 10 of them have left before she stepped down because of a lot of these allegations. And even based off some of the articles I read, those employees still want the company to be successful because it is based off these good morals and good foundations. It's doing a lot of, you know, the donations are going really great for underprivileged women and other places. I don't know. I think overall it's headed in the right direction. Yes, there were some problems, but I think they might come out on top. What do you think?
As far as maternity leave goes, I know that they did say in Mickey Agarwal,
she's pregnant actually herself right now.
She was pregnant at the time. Yeah.
She still is pregnant. She's definitely still pregnant.
They said that their staff, for the most, there was no one that they had that was pregnant. So it's almost something that I'm not making an excuse for them, but it just goes back to having HR. They didn't even have benefits, I believe, in the beginning.
And her excuse is, well, no one was pregnant. It's like, well, it's none of your business whether they are or aren't or are going to be, right? Like a woman could be pregnant and not want to share it for up to 4 months until, by the way, I'm pregnant as of 4 months. So by not having, that's a stupid excuse to me that Mickey could say, oh, we didn't have any maternity leave in place because we didn't have anyone that's pregnant. It's like, how would you even know for up to 4 months?
That's true. It's definitely something where they needed to do that earlier. They needed to figure that out.
I think a lot of people might not be aware of the whole entire situation to begin with, right? I think only people that are really in the period bubble or the business, quote, CEO bubble would be aware of the step down and her moving away. And with that being said, I think that the regular people who are riding the subway every day and who saw the pants or saw the ads and who have bought the panties will probably keep buying.
Yeah, I mean, as long as the product is good, I feel like they'll retain the customers they have. There's a lot of times where something like this could be good for them in the long run. It might hurt now, but the fact that so many news outlets are carrying it, even then, that's some of the best publicity they could have if somebody in Nebraska was just sitting there watching their news and then it was like, oh, feminist CEO of things is, you know,
sexual harassment, stepping down,
blah, blah, blah. And they're like, huh.
I didn't What's even thanks? Know what Google, thinks, Google. Thinks is. I need this.
And wow, this looks like it could be convenient and or nice for me. So it could turn into something not. I don't think that it's great that it happened because I think it really sucks, especially for the people that were victimized. But as long as the way I see it is this from a business perspective, as long as over the next 6 to 8 months, what the brand itself does with this. And they did some really great advertising before, like that one ad where the lady was sitting on the white box and they had the little bag of blood pumped down and it was this woman is about to be on her period and it pumped down.
Oh, right.
And it absorbs everything and she just stands up and walks away and there's nothing. Great ad. So as long as that creativity and the fruit vaginas and the little runny egg thing, as long as they do that again, I don't know that they could really have a problem unless they totally lose focus.
I mean, Chipotle's recovered really well.
I
eat a Chipotle all the time, and I know they had a food outbreak. I know tons of people had food poisoning. I still go there.
Yeah, I mean, they're still struggling, but they branched out and they're doing way more ads.
Yeah,
they're definitely more visible.
I mean, the businesses can recover.
So I don't think that they're doomed by any means.
Well, let me say this. So all of the fantastic advertising and marketing and promotions that they have done have been all sourced and done in-house with their, startup amateur creative team.
Yeah.
I don't know if they have it in their wheelhouse to recover from this sort of PR nightmare. They may have to hire an outsource agency. I know they've been penny-pinching by paying their salaries to their employees very low, which is a little bit outlandish considering in 2017, this year, they're up to $10 million in revenue and they only have 35 employees. So I think their startup excuses of, oh, we're a startup company is legit. But at this point, their revenue, plus their panties are $30 a pop.
Yeah.
There's a lot of weird gray area happening here. And I don't know. I think they've done a lot for the period stigma. I think Thinx is a great brand. I'm still holding out hope for them that they can recover from this. I feel horrible for the employees that nothing's worse than going to a job that you dread and that is disrespectful to you. I feel like we've all been there. So I hope they can bounce back. I think Mickey stepping down has been great. I also think that, great things happen and sometimes there are some serious casualties. This is unfortunate. I don't know how greatly it's going to affect them. And there are other period panty brands out there that if you don't want to support Thinx, there's Dear Kate. Dear Kate does really great stuff too. So either way, I kind of think that your period panties are covered. And another thing I think that could be great, this is kind of my prediction with Thinx Company. I think that they'll get a new CEO. I think they're going to get an HR team. I think they're going to probably have an outside agency sort of help them cover up this PR mess. And I think they're going to lower the price of their panties. And I think that it's not going to only be for privileged women or privileged leaders. I think it's going to be a little bit more affordable. That's my prediction. What do you guys think is going to happen? We would love to hear what you guys think about Thinx. And we'll see. Oh, and then, by the way, Mickey Agarwal has a book. Since we're talking all about Mickey, she has a book called, Do Cool Shit or something.
Something like that.
Something so stupid. What a dumb name. I do cool shit. I mean, it's not cool to sexually harass your employees. So
that's not cool.
That's not cool.
Don't
Mickey.
Do that shit.
So Mickey might need to write a second book apologizing to all of her employees called This Isn't Cool Shit. So look for that on the shelves, I would imagine.
Do cool shit within reason while respecting others.
And bleeding. Well, thanks for talking about this with me, Trey.
Of course. Thanks for letting me talk about this with you.
Of course.
It was fun to be on the other side, and I really look forward to listening to my voice over and over for the next few hours.
And I want to thank all of the listeners who emailed me this article. Thank you. It was beautiful. I got the Google alert for it, and then I got a million other alerts for it, and it was fantastic. I read so many different accounts of what really happened with Thinks. And Thinks is a big player in the menstrual product industry. I mean, they're definitely not near, you know, public trade or anything, but they're definitely moving and shaking. And so it'll be interesting with the new leadership, what happens.
We love our listeners.
Thank you, guys. Speaking of listeners, so season one is about to wrap, you guys. This first season has been absolutely incredible. It's really changed my life. It's actually, it's been quite stressful, but it's been exceptionally rewarding, and I'm really astounded at how rapidly and how quickly it's growing. So it's kind of unfortunate that we're wrapping this season, but we have a lot that we're prepping and gearing up for next season. If you guys know of anything you want to hear in addition to, you know, what's happening in pop culture, what's happening in the news, what are some of the stories, what about some product reviews, you know, send us an email and let us know what you want to hear so we can prep for it for the next season.
Or if you have some crazy story that you want to tell, let us know.
Yeah, or if you want some ad space, we are sort of, you know, discussing with some of our vendors about promotional ads.
Or episodes,
or to come and tout your product. Or if you're an entrepreneur yourself that has, you know, a big invention within the, you know, past century for menstrual products, you want to hear it.
There's not a lot out there.
But Mickey says that she was one of the first ones, but she was a part of it for sure.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Facebook. It's at @xxtheperiodical.
Yep. Follow us. Our Instagram is growing organically, you guys. I really don't post that much because I lead a busy life. But
you're making excuses.
It's growing rapidly, and we're really excited. And thank you again so much for listening to this, and thank you so much for being a part of Smashing the Stigma. The menstrual fairies are going wild. They're, the amount of menstrual fairies that have come
and gotten their wings,
it's incredible.
We know you have a lot to say about periods too. We want to hear your stories and opinions. Go to love-xx.com. That's www.love-xx.com. Plus social media, Instagram and Facebook. We're there. Come hang with us. And of course, subscribe on iTunes. Every time somebody subscribes, a menstrual fairy gets her wings. Love, XX.